It is such an honor and a privilege to be here with you this evening. This congregation is very dear and near to my heart because of the family friends that my family has made over the years and some of the friends I've made here over the years and that you have made and loved and taken care of my aunt, uncle, and cousin, Jeff Brandy and Sammy Joe Ludwig. I thank you for that. I'll tell you this, I'm sometimes called Jeff Jr. Take that with what you want. And if you want to hear an interesting story, ask my aunt how we met. I'll leave it at that. But I am so honored and thank you for the opportunity you've given me to speak here tonight. This will be the first official time I've spoken here. I spoke last year at a VBS, but it's an honor to be here with you this evening. And I hope tonight's lesson is very encouraging to you, and I hope it opens your minds to views that are going on in the world and that there is a problem and that there is need a solution to these problems. So I just graduated high school this past May. I graduated from Alabama Christian Academy. And in a couple weeks, I'll be going to Fulton University to get an English degree and hopefully after that, going to the law school. And so many things in my past have led me to that and so many things I'm proud to say that have helped me through this. But if I can say one thing that I am most proud of that have helped me through all these times through my life and to get me to where I am today is because of my family. I was blessed with a family that loves me, supports me, and takes care of me. I have parents that nourish me, protect me, and as much as I make them mad at me, still love me. And they've raised me in the sight of the Lord and to fear the Lord. I've been in church since I was 2 weeks old, and my mother has taken me there ever since. And I've been at Panama Street for the past 18 years. I have grandparents that spoil me, which is part of the reason why I make my parents mad at me. I have a brother and sister that I can call my best friends. Though we fight often, I still love them to death. I have aunts, uncles, and cousins that I love dearly. We have so many family friends that I can look up to. Family has been a blessing in my life. And I am so blessed to have that. I'm so thankful for God for giving the family that I have. And one of these days, I want a family just like it. I would like to have a family of my own to raise in the sight of the Lord. But I'm scared. For one thing, it's a big dream for an 18-year-old guy to think about that. But it's also scary because of how the world is today. The meaning family has been altered. Do you agree? The word family has been changed to what actually a family is supposed to be. The problem behind that is because there is no set example for us. The wrong couples are being married. Couples aren't being married at all. Kids are raising up to be kids they shouldn't be. There are parents not even in the situation. Families are messed up everywhere because there is no set example. Well, of course, we have the scriptures, and I can look at this congregation right now and see several Christian families that know the true meaning behind family. But we're not publicized that much. The people that they see as an example are those that are in the media. Those you see in the movies, TVs, music, all this kind of stuff you see each and every day. Those names that are famous don't set examples. Especially not a family example. One of the reasons I think that is the problem is that it starts with the beginning of the household. And I'm talking about marriage. Tonight, we are going to look at marriage. What God has said marriage is. What He has commanded for marriage to be like. If you have your Bibles, turn me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 1. This is going to be our background scripture for tonight's lesson. I'll be reading from the ESV version. Starting in verse 1. Now when Jesus had finished these sayings, he went away from Galilee and entered the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. And the Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" He answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. And they said to him, why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away? He said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. The problem arises when the Pharisees test Jesus about divorce. What should we do when you put a man's wife away? He doesn't go ahead and answer by saying divorce is wrong. He talks about marriage first and what marriage is supposed to look like. Tonight, we're going to divide this passage into two sections. We're looking at the parties of marriage. And when I say parties, I'm talking about in a sense of Republican Party, Democratic Party, but not in that sense, just two separate groups. And then the permanence of marriage. Who makes up the marriage? The one that makes up the marriage is God. He has set it up to where what marriage is supposed to be like. Anything beyond what he says is not marriage. The parties of marriage, however, is the male and the female. Let's look at verse 4 of our passage. Have you not read that he created them from the beginning, made them male and female? He created them male and female. That's the first part of marriage. That's a crucial part of marriage. Verse 5. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So it says here, a man is going to leave his parents for his wife, and they're going to become one flesh. They are made one flesh by God. I'm sorry. But because of temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. 1 Corinthians 7:2. It is commanded what marriage is supposed to look like, what the picture of marriage is looked like here. A man and a woman. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Genesis 2, 7, 18, 21, 23, and 24. At the end of 24, the verse sounds familiar. We go back to verse 5 of Matthew 19. Therefore, a man shall leave for his parents to go to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Since the beginning, marriage has been directed. There has been a set picture of what marriage is supposed to look like. And though there have been some hiccups through history as we go through the Old Testament, marriage has not changed from Genesis, as it says right here tonight, Matthew 19. Marriage between one man and a woman. A man shall leave his parents for his wife. They shall become one flesh. They are made one flesh by God. So that is who makes up the marriage. How many make up the marriage? Well, as we just discussed, God makes them one. Back at verse 5, they should become one flesh. But then let's look at verse 6. They are no longer two flesh. They are one. They are together. Man, it says here, back in verse 5, therefore a man. I'm an English major, so I'm about to give you all an English lesson here. I know you hate it. I hated it. We're going to do it again. A man, singular. To make it plural, change the A to an E. Men. Therefore, a man shall leave his parents for his, meaning himself, singular. If it was plural, it would be their, meaning more than one man. Shall leave his parents for his wife. Wife is singular. If it was plural, it would be wives, making it multiple wives. It doesn't say that. It says, one man leaving his parents for one woman, and the two shall become one flesh. At Panama Street, we have a kids' class. It used to be called a kids' class, but now we have the adults doing it. Our preacher, Frank Chesser, is singing the songs that the kids learn, so it's pretty helpful to all of us. But at the end, Jeff Miller, who works at Apologia Express, teaches this class, and he'll ask the kids two questions at the end of the class. He'll say, what's God's plan for the home? He'll say, one man, one woman, for life. Then he'll ask, and who does God want you to marry? And they'll answer, a faithful Christian. The parties of marriage consist of one man, one woman. God takes these two and make them one flesh. They are no longer two. They are one. I'm sorry. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Romans 1:26-28. These people were giving up natural relations, and it is called dishonorable here in the scriptures. And these men were making shameful acts, but they're treated shameless. What do I mean by that? Well, these might be dishonorable, but the way things are going nowadays, it's not treated as dishonorable. We know it is. Outside those doors, a lot of people don't. If by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. 2 Peter 2:6. Sodom and Gomorrah was made an example for future generations, even to today, on July 26, 2015. I had to think about the date for a minute. But it still stands to this day. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, and all the people to the last man, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them. If you were studying this lesson with somebody who was trying to become a Christian, they would stop right there. Someone would be saying, see, doesn't mean anything. They just wanted to know them. Maybe we could have a conversation with them. Well, if we stop right there, we might have the same mindset. That's why we continue reading here. Lot went out to the men in the entrance, shut the door after him, and said, I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Behold, I have two daughters who have not known any man. Let me bring them out to you and do to them as you please. Only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof. But they said, stand back. And they said, this fellow came to sojourn, and he has become the judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. Then they pressed hard against the man, Lot, and drew near to break the door down. Genesis 19:4-9. So we could have stopped after verse 5 and said, well, nothing happened. The story's not true. We read on verse 6. Lot was willing to give up his daughters to make sure these visitors were not tampered with. And the men of Sodom and Gomorrah turned down the daughters. They were still going after these visitors. Sodom, and we all know what happened next. Sodom and Gomorrah was made an example for future generations. Marriage is made up by God. One man, one woman for life. And they shall stay together. That is the parties of marriage. Now we would talk about the permanence of marriage, which was the first issue of our passages tonight. Go back to our scripture in Matthew 19, and let's look at verse 9 now. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. Divorce is not scriptural. Divorce is not ordained by God. It has not made God happy. When God makes these two flesh one, they are to stay one. It is not meant to become one, separate, become one with another, separate, on and on and on. They are to become one and stay one. But he does say here, only on the grounds of sexual immorality, cheating, adultery, whatever you want to call it, is divorce allowed. Still doesn't make it to where what God wants. When these two flesh become one, as I've just said it, they are to stay one, not to be separated. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, such as Christ does the church. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Ephesians 5, verses 23 through 33. Wives and husbands are to love each other as Christ loved the church. They are not to divorce. When they are to become one, they are to stay one. That is the purpose behind God making them one flesh. He makes up the marriage. And he sets up marriage in the scriptures we have read so far tonight. Well, people will go back to our scripture in Matthew and say, those who believe in, that they believe in what is in the red in the Bible, nothing else is said about it, about things that are unlawful that we so call wrong today. Yeah, it might say it past the Gospels, but it didn't say it in red. So if Jesus didn't say it, it obviously isn't wrong. So why even bring up these post-gospel scriptures if Jesus didn't say it? Well, let's look at it. Turn to Matthew 1, please. Acts 1. Acts 1 in verse 8. This is before the ascension, Jesus' ascension to heaven. He's talking to the disciples. And in verse 8, he says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." They became his witnesses. The rest of the Bible has letters in it addressing problems that were going on. And a lot of problems we read in post-gospel scripture has a lot of things to do with what goes on in the world today, especially as going on with marriage. So you're right. Jesus might have not said those specific things in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But the disciples were the witnesses of Christ. They were to go to teach the word. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Go ye into all the worlds and preach the gospel to every living creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. They were given power to go and address these problems that were going on in the world. So to say that it wasn't in red, it's still in the Bible and in Scripture. Man shall become one with his wife. A wife shall become one with her husband. They were two flesh, become one, joined together by God. Whatever happens that is not called marriage, that is in these scriptures, is not marriage. God is the one that makes up the marriage. God is the one who has combined these two parties, to become one flesh. I know I'm saying one flesh a lot because you can't stress it enough. And then divorce is not scriptural except on the grounds of sexual immorality. And even after then, is it still not good? When these two become one, they are to stay one, and they are to love each other until on each wedding day, the preacher says, till death do you part. What God has joined, man should not separate. Going back to our scripture, Matthew 19 in verse 6. He has joined them together as male and female. He has joined them together as one man, one woman. And it should not be separated at all. 1 Corinthians 7, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And in verse 39, a wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. Another problem to be addressed. If a spouse has died, then is another person allowed to be married once again. But divorce is not ordained by God. The meaning behind family in today's world has been changed. It has been altered. It's sad to see that it is, but it is. And that's why I said before I started, I am so glad and proud and blessed to have the family that I do. Because of them, I was raised in the sight of the Lord and how to fear God. Now, I mess up. I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. And I probably aggravate my parents the day is long. I probably aggravate everybody I see. But I am still blessed and I know what is right because my family, who is here tonight, has shown me the right way. And they raised me in the right way. And I'm thankful for them and I love them and I thank God for giving me them. And I see a lot of families out here that know what a right Christian family looks like. The ones to set the example of what a family looks like is going to have to be us. The more we show our example, the more it will be seen by others in the community. If you're not a Christian, you never obey the gospel. We encourage you by faith to come for it. To hear the word, believe the word, repent of your sins, confess the name of Jesus, be baptized in the Christ for the remission of your sins. Fully immersed into the water, dying to your old self, and then arising anew. If you've done that and you sin in some public way, or you've had problems not showing the right example of what a Christian family looks like, we encourage you to come forward while we stand and sing.